If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter, 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. This is the idea for the day. Peter ends his first letter saying this, look, we need, as Christians, we need to be alert and sober mind, clear-minded. The enemy, your enemy, my enemy, the devil prowls around like a what? A roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Have you thought about that lately? Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. The sufferings that we go through, other people, your brothers and sisters around the world are going through. The devil is a roaring lion. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for this day. We thank you for the beauty of this fall time and for the freedom we enjoy in being in your house. And Lord, we just pray you'd reveal to us the truths of your word and of our faith this morning. And as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we'll pray all these things only and always in Jesus' name, say. Amen. So, you know, have you noticed, or I went to the mailbox yesterday and it's like I'm getting a mountain of political flyers. They're really amping it up. Greg had talked to the postmaster, I think, in Corvallis, and that was the prediction. We still got a week and a half to go. Now, what's interesting about this time is that in addition to our local and state elections, have you noticed the eyes of our nation have been focused on the great state of Montana? There's a reason for this, because it's understood that the outcome of our Senate race will in all likelihood determine who controls the Senate majority in Washington. Now, that I've heard people say, look, how many of you have been to Washington, D.C.? Everybody, it's good to see our capital. But they also say, if you want a friend in D.C., buy a dog. Whatever your political preferences may be. So anyway, strap in, stay strong. You're going to get the remaining tsunami of political flyers until after, you know, November 5th is over. Now, recently, a number of people have asked me the practical question, so how do you go about determining what you're going to preach on from Sunday to Sunday? Well, here's the method to the madness. It's actually fairly practical. Before Mosaic, it was my common practice to create general outlines of topics and sort by themes and Bible books and do that anywhere from 6 to 9 months ahead of time. Because believe it or not, I can be a very detailed sort of person. Some of you are like, okay. Now, that sounds like good planning, and it was good planning, but I'm now embarrassed to admit that the way I did it before is, after all my hard work, I would then bring my work before God and say, would you please bless this? Problem, right? Problem. Right now, I ask God, Lord, what do you want me to talk about that will honor you and help your people? And here's a couple primary ways that God has typically spoken to me since we've been at Mosaic, and it's really changed the way that I preach. The first is, while I'm reading the Bible or even some other literature, if I feel a strong urge to pause, that's usually something, and think and pray further about something, that might be an indicator. The second and most common would be this. If I hear 3 to 4 people independently of one another talking to me or others about the same thing, scriptural topic, whatever, within a week's time or so, that's usually a green light for me from God. So I sort of have to pay attention a little bit there, right? And then sometimes one or more individuals will ask me to address a topic or a scriptural theme or something. That's what happened with this morning's message by way of intro. After several conversations with Greg about the current crazy election cycle, he said, would you consider revisiting from some time back the idea of the deeds of the devil? And I was like, huh, let me think and pray about that. And after doing so, I thought, it might be timely. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the devil. Have you noticed this? I mean, a lot. And it talks about the devil and all his plotting and work among us. Do you believe that the devil is busy as we speak? Given the current election cycle, Paul says this, 2 Corinthians 2:11, that during such a time, and I want to touch on that a little bit too today, we need to be aware of Satan's scheme so that what Paul says, that he might not outwit us. That's one of the great goals of the devil, is to outwit us. And so this morning, I want to remind you a little bit. Peter says, I stir up your minds by way of remembrance, right? Using a little alliteration for memory purposes. Some of the key schemes that Satan uses to try and outwit us as Christians, you could add other things to the list, but I want to talk about the 5 D's of the devil. There's other D's as well. Could add many. But focusing on 5, so that we're not outwitted, that we can be aware of his schemes in our life, particularly during this moment in our lives and in the election cycle. So the first D I want to talk about briefly, doubt. Doubt. As you know, I'm a fan of Christian author C.S. Lewis. Once famously said this, his teaching on this I found very helpful. He said, most Christians live their lives in one of two extremes. He said, either they give too little consideration to the fact and practically doubt that there's a devil. I mean, when was the last time you thought about the devil? I know it's not a pleasant thought, right? But Is Satan a category in your Christian life, so to speak, right? Either too little consideration or maybe too much. If we fall into one or two of these extremes, it's going to have a problem, right? If we doubt that there's a devil, right, that seeks to oppose everything, including faith, hope, and love, we're going to be left with a lot of questions and probably a lot of heartbreak. Or some Christians have an undue, unhealthy interest in the demonic, and they think that the devil is hiding behind every rock, tree, and corner. The devil's there, you know? Or in popular parlance, who was it, Flip Wilson back in the 70s? The devil made me do it. No, you did it, thank you very much. You just decided to go that direction, right? Okay, so again, during this challenging election cycle, how often has it even entered your mind that the devil is on the prowl and he's selling fear and panic to anyone who's buying? Yeah. Have you noticed this? That's I just want to bring this up today. Jesus' own chief apostle, I love how he's portrayed in The Chosen too. It's so awesome. That's Wednesday night. He says, 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, be alert, sober, clear-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. And I don't mean the road out that way. There must have been a lion that roared once upon a time there, right? Yeah, often. Okay, the fosses know. The devil, that's an interesting picture, as a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour, to consume, to eat. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world, they're undergoing the same kinds of sufferings you are. You know, sometimes the devil tells us, it's just you. No one else is experiencing what you're experiencing, the sorrow or the temptations or whatever. It's like, no, blessed assurance, you're not special. Everybody's experiencing these things one way or another, right? That's actually kind of encouraging. So the Bible makes it crystal clear that the evil one is very real, actively opposes the kingdom of God and the people of God in this world. And have you ever noticed the devil's known by many names? This caused me to stop and pause working on this week. It's like, I was like, oh, the names of the devil, that would be an interesting series. And then I thought about Lewis writing Screwtape Letters, like, who wants to hear a series on the devil? How depressing. Maybe one sermon, that'd be enough, in and out. You know, this book that he wrote, one of his wildly popular books, everybody said, oh, write another one. He said, not a chance. You know why? Because he said, in order for me to come up with these letters between a junior and a senior demon talking, he said, you know how hard I had to twist my brain into thinking like the devil? That's dangerous. He said, not a chance, one and done. So there'll be no series on the devil. Maybe one talking about his names. That could be interesting, maybe helpful, hopefully. But Satan, That's a Hebrew word meaning the accuser. The accuser of your soul, the devil or diabolos, the scatterer. That's what he does. He scatters God's people. He scatters your focus on the Lord. Lucifer, Latin, angel of light, right? Satan comes masquerading as an angel of light. Ooh, here's a good one, Beelzebub. That's from the old Canaanite. Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. Oh, remember that one? Actually, the Hebrew people, God's people, love to put puns on this. And Beelzebub, they just changed a little bit. It's the Lord of the crap heap. That's what it means in Hebrew. That's actually pretty helpful. And there's many others. I mean, Satan, this guy has more fake IDs than a double agent in a James Bond movie. Oh, there's the young Sean Connery. So dapper, right? You know, actually, people love the James Bond movies, but if you think about international espionage and double agents, how disgusting it really is, right? Ugh, right? I think many Christians are functionally agnostics when it comes to the idea of the devil. And you know what? Satan's just fine with that. He wants you to not hardly believe in him, right? I think he prefers it. That way people can blame and attack one another instead of standing firm in their shared faith. Sound familiar recently? Let's just attack people who don't agree with us. Let's attack people that don't share my values. Have you aligned those values with God's word? Now you've gone from preaching to meddling. Okay, that's what we do here sometimes, right? To doubt the existence of the devil in such a time as this is spiritually dangerous. Why? Because if you doubt the existence of the devil, you'll start doubting the goodness of God. You see how this works? They go together. Satan's been around a while. He's been doing this, right? The devil is not dumb. But some of our images of the devil are, right? You know, running around. I was just at Super One. I saw on the top of the shelf, you know, the little can that we used to eat in the 70s. Why? I don't know. It's trash. But deviled ham. Little pointy, you know, red devil, you know, something out of Dante's Inferno. It's like, I think he enjoys that image. It's like, yeah, let him believe that. You know, dumb, right? Anyway, if there's no enemy, then isn't everything that's gone wrong in the world God's fault, right? Wouldn't that be a natural line of reasoning? Don't get me wrong. I'm definitely not saying that the devil himself orchestrated all the hate we're currently experiencing in our country and in our world. No, this is a byproduct of living in a fallen world, right? What I'm saying is that the devil is seriously profiting from it. Look at all the fear and rage. Just look at it. If that's not of the devil, I don't know what is. I don't know. So let's be clear and not doubt. The devil is very much alive and he's playing his greatest hits album, right? The good news is he can play it, but you don't have to listen to it. Are we aware? The first D of the devil is doubt. The second one is distraction. Oh, cue America, right? In addition to everything involved in our current moment, never before as a people, group, or a nation have we had more distractions than Americans, that we do as Americans, right? Our fellow brothers and sisters around the world know it. I mean, to talk to believers around the world, sometimes they just scratch our heads wondering what we're doing. Like, can I ask you a question? I don't understand why I fill in the blank. We probably don't understand either. We just don't think about it, right? Just consider how things have changed over the course of your own lifetime, right? How about the number of food selections in the grocery store? Boy, that's changed a lot. Some of you say, oh, you're just a young pup. Well, then you know what I'm talking about more than I do, right? You know, back then you had hot dogs and macaroni and maybe apples. You know, remember the terrible food of the 60s and 70s? Boy, that was a bill of goods. Ugh. You know? How about supersized fast food? There he is, Morgan Spurlock. Remember this? This is a great documentary, right? Back from a number of years ago. What he did was, back in the day when you went to McDonald's, not that we ever should have, he decided he was going to eat 3 meals a day at McDonald's for 30 days, for a month. Ooh, very bad idea. And if they said, would you like to supersize that? He had to. This was the game that he played. By day 3 or 4, he's out vomiting profusely in the parking lot. He was, at the time, he had a girlfriend who was a vegan chef. She was horrified. That was pretty funny, actually. You know, and he had a Russian doctor who, you know, the Russians, they don't sugarcoat it like Americans. They're like, you are stupid. You will die. And it's like, I know I got to do this. You don't have to do this, you know? Anyway, supersized fast food, it's all around. So, you know, Americans eat, 1/3 of Americans eat most of their food out in fast food. You ever drive past noon, past some of the fast food? They're all lined up. It's like, this really isn't a good idea at all. Well, the number of TV streaming services and technology. You remember back in the day, cable, or when you had the little buttons, like, oh, this is great. Now it's just like, you know, I'm just going to, you know, binge watch Netflix and Netflix until my eyes bleed and I go to bed at 3 a.m. Remember you had to wait for your show each week? Oh, the good old days. I don't know, right? We live in a fast-paced world. Things vie for our attention on a moment-by-moment basis. Let me tell you, the devil loves it. He loves it, right? That's one of his schemes to outwit us. You see, to be constantly distracted in this world, that's a spiritual issue. We've talked about this. You know what distract, you know, I'm a word nerd, you know this. You know what distracted literally means in Latin? To be pulled apart at the joints. You know these guys that get busted up in car wrecks and they put them in the hospital and they put them in traction? How you feeling today? Oh, great, you know? That's traction, to get them back in order, right? Distraction is to be pulled apart. You ever hear of medieval drawing and quartering? You know, a horse on each lemon and say, yeah, that's distraction, literally. But we don't take distraction so seriously anymore. We should. It means to be pulled apart at the joints. How often during 2024 have you forgotten your focus as a Christian? How often have you forgotten to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him on a daily basis? Do I sound like a broken record? Am I dating myself? Am I interrupted streaming service? How often have we forgotten that Jesus Christ is still sitting on his throne? Oh, to listen to some Christians just hand-wringing. Oh, the devil. You know, it's like, last time I checked, Jesus is still on the throne, right? Come on. You see, one of the key tactics and strategies of the devil today is to constantly distract the followers of Jesus with other things, with so many troubling, even frightening things. Right? If you've been watching the Chosen with us on Wednesday, or if you followed this season 4, recently we saw the biblical story of Mary and Martha, Luke 10. Classic story. Two sisters, they both loved Jesus dearly. Right? But Martha became what? Distracted by all the preparations for Jesus, the meal preparations and his disciples. She forgot the one main thing. She forgot her main focus. Jesus never says, Martha, what you were doing is wrong. It wasn't. She was doing what any godly woman would have done in that day, right? You know, being hospitable. Some of you are like, well, you know, we're liberated today and women don't have to cook. It's like, you know, I tell young men now today when they're dating, I hope this doesn't sound sexist, but if it does, I don't care. You know, when you're dating, one, she's got to be a believer, okay? Are we clear about this? No dating evangelism. This is really dangerous among young women, I found especially. It's like, I think I'll get him to accept Jesus. I'm like, you probably won't. But it's like, hey, you know how to cook, young man? Well, kinda. I said, well, you can't assume that you're gonna marry a woman that can cook anymore. You can't assume that, right? Is that sexist? I don't think so. I think it's just reality, right? Okay. Am I distracting you? Mary and Martha, Martha was a great follower of Jesus. She just forgot to set everything else aside and sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary was doing. As Jesus told Martha, only what? One thing is necessary. Focus on me. Sit at my feet. That's how they did it back then. And listen. Turn off the news, people. Turn it off that feed. Avoid the many distractions of the devil. Focus on Jesus Christ. The news is meant to distract you from the Lord, right? Get your news feed. I'm all about that. Get in, get out. Distraction of the devil, number three, discouragement. Oh, here we go. We're getting even more serious. During this election year's election cycle, we have witnessed incredible levels of discouragement among people and even God's people. I've noticed it. Ooh, I could feel it. In late summer, it's like, whoo. The discouragement of life or of the election cycle, or how about the sense of hopelessness after we dealt with months of smoke? We couldn't see our mountains no more. That's a feeling of hopelessness. Did you feel that? And you can't breathe on top of it, right? These things are all conspiring in some sense. I don't think I'm making this up, right? You may remember a touchstone, a watchword during the pandemic. I love this one. We remind of God's words of encouragement to Joshua, Joshua 1:9. I love this verse. Be what? Strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be upset or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you remind yourself of that every day? Man, write it on a post. I am dating myself. Do you use post-it notes? Put it on your phone, right? A reminder. Be strong and courageous. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's really easy for us as human beings as well as Christians to become discouraged. Right? God's word says be strong and courageous. This isn't just whipping up the masses. This is a bedrock of God's word. Don't be terrified or discouraged. The reality of the life in a world of crisis is that we can lose heart. How's your heart doing today? A little heart checkup spiritually, maybe? Again, word nerd that I am, to be discouraged, coeur, heart in French, means to be disheartened. If you're in a season of discouragement, you're disheartened, right? Oh, this is where the body of Christ is so important. You know, it's like, I don't feel like going to church today. Well, can I sound old school? Get your hiney up and go anyway. I don't feel like it. Who cares? You know, we live by faith, right? Faith is trust. Even when you can't see the mountains because of the smoke, amen? We know they're still there. Do you believe that? Oh, you can see them today. That's awesome. But to be discouraged is to literally be disheartened. Webster's dictionary says this, discouragement is that which destroys or abates your courage. That which depresses your confidence or hope. You know confidence? You know what that means in Latin? You're like, you're going to tell me anyway. I'm going to tell you anyway. Yeah, it means with faith. Confidence is being with faith. You're full of faith. Hope. Discouragement deters or tends to deter us from an undertaking. When you're disheartened and discouraged, you probably don't get much done, do you? Those, if you have ever struggled with clinical depression, I have. It's an awful thing. It's like, it's hard to get out of bed, isn't it? It's like, how do I encourage you? One, I'll be there for you and we'll talk and pray. But it's like, do one thing. Get out of bed and accomplish one thing, and you'll feel better. That's how it works. The devil loves to work in the area of discouragement. Discouragement can range from mild disappointment to clinical depression, and you know, in extreme cases, it can lead to suicide. Right? What does suicide say? Suicide says ultimately this lie of the devil. It says, "No one can help me." We've all had loved ones or known of people who have attempted or have committed suicide. It's awful, right? Somehow, they've believed this lie of the devil that no one can help me, not even God. You know, it's like, ooh, that's a lie of the devil. I don't know why I was thinking about this yesterday. I was thinking about the Titanic. You remember that movie? And that one idiot who says, not even God can sink this ship. It's like, well, guess what? Yeah, we already know how this is going to end. Let's just turn it off and go do something life-giving like having dinner or something. I don't know. Not even God can. Dude, idiot. Come on. You know, there's so many situations and things in this present time that can cause us to be discouraged. Fear, uncertainty about the future, right, are leaving people not only discouraged, but actually brokenhearted. It's not so hard to wonder and understand why we're so prone to discouragement, the loss of heart, yet let alone a broken heart. All of us have experienced that at one time. Some of you may be experiencing that now. But let me encourage you today. God's word, Joshua 1:9, you might want to write this down and slap it on your bathroom mirror or in your, you know, dash of your car. Have I, the Lord, not commanded you to be what? Strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Right? He hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. Paul is telling his young protege, Timothy. God's saying to Joshua, don't be terrified, don't be discouraged. Why? I'm with you wherever you go. Do you remember that? Wherever you go, God is with you. Sometimes even when you shouldn't be going there, huh? Hello. Right? It's God is so good. He has mercy on the foolish and upon stupid and idiotic people. Isn't this good? Haven't you done stupid things? And God was like, really? Can we chat? I'm not going to, every day, says Reverend Peterson. Okay, good. We're getting somewhere. God is with you wherever you go. As the followers of the Lord Jesus, you choose faith over what?
Fear.
Yes. We can also spiritually see that in this present crisis, right? It's your decision time. You can make meaningful decisions. And you know, God is using these tough things to refine us and our faith, right? Sometimes we lose perspective on that, you know? And we need each other, we really do. It's like, hello, all of you are watching online, and there's a number of you, and we're glad you're here. I'm talking to you right now. Do you have a church home? I'm glad you're tuning in, but you need a church home of body, a body of believers you can go to. It ain't the same. I mean, I listen to podcasts and sermons and stuff, and I'm blessed by it. I listen to two every morning now, and I'm blessed with that. But that's not my church home or family. I recently heard one person say, you know, for only $25 a month, join our online church family. I was like, heresy, blasphemy. Are you done? No. Almost, kind of. It's decision time. This is fight time, people, not flight time. You're being sanctified, being brought into the holiness of God. You're becoming more whole and holy. As a follower, we have the opportunity to break down spiritual strongholds in Jesus' name. Amen? We are victors, not victims. Number four, division. Ooh, Satan loves division. That's the fourth D. Satan loves to bring disunity and division into the lives of Christians and into the churches of Jesus Christ, and he'll use anything and everything, right? How many, have you seen people fighting in churches? It's a terrible witness. I heard a lot of non-Christians, well, you know, I don't go to church because it's filled with hypocrites. I'm like, well, come on in, the water's fine. As if you weren't. Right? This is school, man. You know, this is, I don't have anything to wear, or I got to fix some things in my life before I go to church. Do you clean up to take a bath or shower? Come on, really? Satan loves to use division. Politics is just his preferred poison right now. That's his preferred poison. The devil's been doing this among Christians and churches since day one. I'm always amused when I hear certain Christians complaining about how messed up the Church of Jesus Christ is in America today. I'm not disagreeing per se, but I laugh when they say this. Pastor, we need to be more like the New Testament church. You don't say. Can I ask some annoying questions, which I'm gonna do? Really, which one? Which New Testament church? Choose one from Paul's letters, right? You know, that's the reason why we have so many different letters from the Apostle Paul. He's addressing specific church things, and you get to read the mail. Normally, that's against the law, right? In this case, you get to read other people's mail because it's your mail too. You got mail. Ooh. How about those Paul's long letters to the Corinthian Christians? Ooh. Ooh, you want to be, you know, do you want to be like the church at Corinth? I hope not. Ugh, right? Talk about divisions. Oh, here's a little snapshot. Ever read 1 Corinthians? Christians sleeping with their step-parents. Ew. Suing the pants off each other and getting hammered during communion. The Corinthian Christians were a constant migraine headache to the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine being a Christian leader or a pastor in that divided and disunified church? No thanks. I'll take Mosaic Church for 1,000, Alex. Thank you. Jesus said, Matthew 12:25, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. Every city or household divided against itself will not stand. That's why we're so serious about the unity and in the vision, values, and mission here at Mosaic Church, because a house divided itself cannot stand. You know, people sometimes say, oh, Mosaic Church, is it growing? I'm like, oh, yeah. Usually they're saying, they're really talking about how many butts you got in the seat. Can I say that? I just did. I don't care about that. I care about lives change, us being on mission, and that we not be a house divided, right? There have been people who are like, I just got to have the biggest church in the community or whatever. It's like, ew, no thank you. Right? How about a unified vision? Being committed to being radically loving, giving, forgiving is now more important in our lives as Christians and at Mosaic Church family than ever, especially given the way things are. We need to be extra sensitive to others, even if we disagree with them. Extra graciousness to one another at this time, because the devil loves to divide, doesn't he? Right? Let's not be unaware and outwitted by his schemes. Look, you do not get a pass. I've said this before. I'll say it again. As a Christian, you don't get a pass on hate. Even those who disagree, even those who are diametrically opposed to the values of the gospel, you don't get to hate them. Right? Hate the sin, love the sinner, all that good stuff. Big difference. Keep that in mind. Finally, number 5, destruction. The 5th D of the devil I want to mention this morning is destruction. It's the logical outcome of a life that's buried, immured in doubt, distraction, discouragement, and division. Again, encourage you to memorize 1 Peter 5:8. Verse for today. Be self-controlled and alert, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a what? A roaring lion looking for someone to devour. If you kept that in your mind each day, it might help you be clear spiritually about some things, right? His ultimate goal is the destruction of as many people in this world as possible. You know this. That's why we as Christians, we don't have the luxury of being spiritually naive. That's a sermon sometimes. Remember, Jesus, he has these things that are, he says a lot of troubling things, very inconvenient. Is God inconvenient in your life? Yeah, he should be, right? Jesus said, be as innocent as doves, but as shrewd as what? Serpents or vipers or snakes, right? Now, I've heard the Sunday school lesson for a year, you know, be innocent as doves. Yes, this is true. I want to hear the message on how does a Christian be as shrewd as a snake without being a snake? How about that? Because Christians can be dumb. So dumb, they don't even get the B on the end of dumb. Just dumb. You know, don't, no, church. Devil's a roaring lion is the point. You don't have the luxury of being spiritual naive. We live in a world that is at spiritual war. If evil is not a real category for you, you're in danger. There's spiritual power and protection in the Church of Jesus Christ. There's strength in numbers. We need one another now more than ever. This is not the day or the hour to become a spiritual lone ranger. Oh, that is so common in this valley, I found. Have you met a lot of Christians? Like, yeah, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I pray. I read my Bible almost every day. Really, where's your church home? Oh, I don't do church. I don't be around those people. You know, those people. Yeah. Can I ask a question? No, I can't. The church is a blessing, right? It's supposed to be a blessing. During these trying times, one of God's greatest gifts to us is the church, a place of Christian community and worship, a school of sanctification, a veritable protection against the destruction of Satan. Because honestly, let's make it practical. If you are hiking in an area, and that's not far-fetched around here, that is known to be crawling with lions, would you go with a group or bring some protection with you? Protection. For the life of me, when my old friends back east get mad at me and accuse me of going native, I've had people say, there's no good reason for a person to ever carry a gun or own a gun. I'm like, you don't say. I just laugh at them, call them silly and naive. I can think of several good reasons for caring when I'm hiking. Angry mama mooses down by the river, wolves, grizzly bears, sneaky mountain lions. Lock and load, boys and girls. We're going wilderness hiking. When you visit Big Sky, I'd like to come and visit you sometime. When you get them out hiking, and you know, we do have grizzly bears again. Great. We have wolves, great. There's a reason why the Frontiers people cleared them out, because they ate their children and stuff. Have you read Little House on the Prairie? I thought that was a children's book. It was. Right? When they're actually walking on the ground, they usually shut up. Have you noticed this? Spiritually speaking, Peter says that the devil is a roaring lion, seeking whomever he can devour and destroy. Jesus says, John 10:10, here's another, the devil is a thief, right? A thief who comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. Ooh. Now, I know this morning's message is a little serious. I've been sort of surprised over the course of Mosaic's life how many people sometimes come to me and say, did you write that message for me? And it's like, no, not particularly. I had someone recently, I won't name this person, but they said, wow, you punched me in the face today. It's like, sorry, I don't go around punching people, especially girls. It's dishonorable. Anyway, but I try and preach messages that seem important and relevant and something that I'll get out of it, and hopefully you might as well. Hopefully it's timely. The bottom line is confession. I'm just a pastor. I have no superpowers. You probably noticed that. I have some really interesting experiences and some blessed with good education, but no Marvel comic superpowers here by way of example, kind of like the time, Billy. When a little boy was waiting for his mother to come out of the grocery store, and as he waited, he was approached by a stranger who said, son, I'm new to this town. Can you tell me where the post office is? Little boy replied, sure, mister. Go straight down this street, couple blocks, and turn right. The man thanked the little boy kindly and said, well, guess what? I'm the new pastor in town. I'd like you to come to my church on Sunday. I'll tell you how to steer clear of the devil and how to get in heaven when you die. The little boy was a smart kid, and he began to laugh, and he said to the new pastor, you're BSing me, right, pastor? You don't even know how to get to the post office. Well, it's been 11 years already since Deb and I have lived in the valley and ministered here, and thankfully now I can get to the Hamilton and Corvallis post offices all by myself now. Thank you. Praise the Lord. But I do want to remind you today as Christians to be aware of the 5 D's of the devil. Beware of doubt, distraction, discouragement, division, and destruction. Why? So that you may be more aware of Satan's schemes and so that you may not be outwitted by him during this challenging election season. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we think of St. Augustine who said, your word is shallow enough for a little lamb to play in it, and it's deep enough for an elephant to wade through. And we just thank you for the ever freshness and truth of your word. Thank you for reminding us today that our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking anyone and anything to devour, and we do not want to be outwitted by him. And so, Lord, as we continue on in life and this election season and the rest of the year even, Lord, we thank you for this important reminder, and we pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would bring these things and stir our memories by way of remembrance, as Peter says elsewhere. And so, Lord, as we begin to close the service, as we pack shoeboxes in Jesus' name, as we assemble candy on Wednesday, as we reach out to the community on Halloween Thursday, we just pray you'd be honored and glorified in our midst. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.